Welcome to Alive to Give Life, the online teaching ministry of Pastor Pascal Ngwee. Pastor Pascal is the senior pastor of Alive City Church. He's a seasoned and anointed teacher of the Word of God. As you listen to this message, get ready for a complete turnaround in every area of your life. Now, let's join the message already in progress.
Well, you're welcome. My name is Emmanuel. My father's name is Clufio. And so when I combine mine and his, I'm Emmanuel Clufio. We thank God for you being able to make it. Are there some more people here to come? Or
yes, there's more coming.
Okay, because
tomorrow mostly.
Okay. Because my introduction is very important. Great. How many of you have attended a camp before? Like, you not a secondary school camp. You see, we call it a camp. It's most of us. When I started church here and I said we were going for a camp, most people thought we were going for the school camp where you go and you play, you jump around. How many of you thought that's what you're coming to do? Okay. I mean, a camp generally is an English word where it's more like you gather people in a place for a long time, that's all. And of course, there are different things you can gather people for. Sometimes you can gather them in a place to socialize, to train them, and all those. In military camp, they don't play. When you go to a military camp, they are trained. You know, when I finished school, I was working at a military hospital. And some of my colleagues opted to join the army. They trained them, because when you're in the military, your work is not going to be a civilian, normal life. So they train you for hardness. How to eat very hot food in a short time. And whatever you finish to eat within the time, that's what you eat till the next meal. Because if you are in a war, there's no luxury of, hey, can we do supper? Because at supper time, you may be under fire. Do you get it? So you are trained to live on little and to go longer. You are trained to be physically fit. You are trained to sleep less. You can't say that, I think I need to, it's 8 o'clock now, I'm tired, I must sleep my 8 hours. No, because 8 hours, the enemy will be firing you. So if you are insisting on sleeping for 8 hours, you'll be dead before you wake up. Do you get it? So you find out that the training, the people were trained and were, their bodies were put under strain to learn how to survive under strain. It's a similar thing that Christians need to have. Because I need to talk to you for a long time. Now, I can't talk to you for 2 hours at church service when the praise and worship will sing, when the announcement will be made. I mean, by the time the service is over, all the chance I have to talk to you is just 45 minutes. And what can I say in 45 minutes for you to understand my point? So you normally do a camp like this where you gather the people and you teach them for a long time. So like so when you start a session, you have to learn to sit for 3 to 4 hours non-stop. You see, this is not a lecture where every 45 minutes. How long are your lectures? 45 minutes or 1 hour? 1 hour. Between them, we change lecturers and all those things. And you can get a chance to, no. It's like when you stand, you must be able to sit for 6 hours and listen and be awake. Because you see, this training is very important because the God that you are seeking is a God that hideth himself. Do you get it? So God is not in a hurry to show up because you have come. So if you don't learn to tarry, if you don't learn to be in a place for God for so long, you will have nothing of him. And that is why a lot of Christians have nothing of God. Because they have not learned to wait on God. But it is they that wait on the Lord whose strength shall be renewed. Do you get it? And today's Christians, we are always in a hurry to get up and go. Even when we are saying we are in the presence of the Lord, we are waiting on God, we still have the world with us, with our cell phones and everything. And you know, when you look carefully, anything that will help you or anything that is good, to get it, you need to spend a long time. You see, why is it that doctors are not trained for 1 year? Certificate course. They get it, but doctors are trained for 6 years. And that is 6 years of theory and a little bit of practical. Then now when you finish, they start training you another 2 years for practical. To learn, because it's quite detailed. So you can't just say, it's too long. No. It's the same thing that if you really get anything from God, you have to accept that this is the price. Do you get it? Nobody complains why the gold is deep in the earth. Because, you see, it's valuable. And anything that is valuable derives its value from how difficult it is to get. So what it is that you need, and what I'm talking about is preparing your mind so that you don't say that you didn't tell us. Do you get it? Yeah, he didn't tell us. So I'm telling you that when I stand, you will sit for a long time. Do you get it? And there's nothing like every 2 minutes you want to go and wee-wee. Your bladder can stay quiet or hold whatever is given to it, and it keeps expanding until it's ready to empty. So most of us, you see, most people get up to go to the bathroom because they are fidgety. In other words, it's like they just want to move. Because if the same people, you told them that there's a lion there, they'll sit here patiently without feeling the need to go out. Are you with me? Good. So this is very important. And the reason why we need long times like this, because do you get it? We are coming from very far, so we need to remove one layer after the other and take our time so that you understand. Because most people don't understand what is preached, most people don't understand the Bible and the journey, like what is it that we are about. Amen. I can promise you tonight, I won't keep you for long because I know that you've gone to work and you've gone to so many places. Do you get it? So I won't keep you for long. So I'll let you sleep early. Mm-hmm. So that we wake up early. Do you get it? You sleep early so that we wake up early. And especially when we have come for a camp, we also need to wake up earlier so that we can pray. Because there are things we need to put into our lives which it's lacking. Most Christians' lives are lacking things that would help their Christian walk. You see, there are a few things in Christianity that you need to have. Your ability to pray, your ability to read the word, and believe what you read, and your ability to hear from the Holy Spirit. These three things, if they are present in your life, you are likely to go far. But you see, the world or the environment which you are in is not giving you time to pray. Do you get it? It's not giving you time to pray. The world is like a football team that has studied your game, and maybe your game plan or the way you play is passes. You pass short passes, and then before you realize you scored like Barcelona or Man City or Arsenal. So what happens is that such teams are easily contended by just overcrowding them. Because their game is to keep passing. So if you close them down, three players, by the time you get the ball, three players are on you. Unless they have like very excellent dribbling skill. But if their game is just passing, touches and things like that, they can't play. They can't play. And that's what the world is, that they know that you need time to be with your God. You need time to be with his word. You need quietness to hear his voice. So what the world is doing, the strategy of the world against a Christian is take away all their time by giving them things to keep them busy. You get it? So then they don't have a time. So once they don't have the time, they can't pray. They can't read their Bible. And of course, they will also not learn to hear from the Holy Spirit. Take away all their time by filling it with things. That's a strategy of the enemy. Take away their time by preoccupying them with seemingly many important things. So those who are able to detach themselves from seemingly many important things are the ones that are able to have the time. Or those who are willing to stretch themselves are the ones who are able to have the time. Once you are not able to let go of certain things, you will not have the time. Once you are not willing to put a strain on your body, you will not have the time. Because by 6 o'clock, you should be on your way to work or to school, depending on where you stay, or 7. I mean, no matter what you are doing, either you are going to school or you are going to work. Do you get it? Yeah. Now, by the time you do all those things, you get home, you are tired. Your body says, I'm tired. And if you are the type of person who loves your body, then you want to rest it. First of all, he says, I'm tired, but I'm not ready to sleep. So relax me small by watching television. Do you get it? So you watch the soapies. You say, I want to eat. Then you give it. You need to prepare the food to eat. And then you watch. He says, now that I've eaten, I need to relax. So give me some soapies and other things to watch and some movies. You get it. So by the time you finish the soapies and the movies, it's about 9:30, 10. Then he says, now I've had a long day. Tomorrow is also another long day. So we need to rest. So you go to bed around 10. And then around 4, you have slept for 6 hours. When you want to wake up, it says, no, okay, let me just do another 1 hour. You get it? So by the time it's ready to wake up and agrees with you to get up, you just have short time to prepare to go out. So you can't do your quiet time. You get it? Then the cycle continues for a long time. So you are born again, all right. You are born again, all right. But you see, what you need to grow in your born again journey, you are not able to do it. Yeah, you are not able to do it. If it's work, there are deadlines, you can't take your leave, it's yours, but you can't take it when you need it. And then even when you take it, there are other family responsibilities that you must use it for. So you can't take it and say you want to stay home and read the Bible and pray. Do you get it? And then also, Satan has advanced and he's always keeping. You see, he's taking your time as much as he could. So now he's even added the cell phone, the discovery of the internet. The internet and all this, they've been there all the time. Oh. We've just only discovered it now. Because Satan wants us to know it. So that he would improve his ability to catch our time. So now when you have to pray, even when your pastor preaches and preaches and preaches and you are forced to pray, then the cell phone is there. And then at the time you are praying, that's when all the messages starts coming. So when you talk to God, you are talking to God, or the Holy Spirit is talking, they say, hold on 1 minute, I need to pick a call. So before you realize, okay, Holy Spirit, you know, we'll catch up later. I need to go. You get it? So the strategy is take as much of their time as possible. Do you get it? And also, especially for those who are working, give them more money by way of a job that also is very demanding. And tell them that a good life must have this and that and that and that. So that when you offer them a job that will take more of their time, but give them more money, they will like it. Yeah. I mean, it's a very simple strategy, very simple strategy. Now, before you realize, the person's season when they could really acquire much or they could really go far, the season is past. And then after a while, you start releasing them of those things, but then their energy is finished. Give them ideas to occupy themselves with so many things and tell them that they have a lot of time when they come on retirement or when things get better. Tell them that now they have, you know, they need to sort themselves out. When they are finished and their children are grown, they can be fine. But what he doesn't tell you is that by the time, the strategy is that by the time your children are grown, your energy is also finished. Your brain is not as active as it used to be. Many things your body is no longer able to do. If you've ever been to a prayer meeting where old people are, you find that almost all of them are sleeping. Have you seen an old person praying sweating before? No. Because when they walk up and down, just simple walking up and down, they have backache. And when they sit down, the sleep comes because they are practicing for eternity. Amen. When the body shall sleep eternally. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Now, you see, so Satan's strategy against us is this way. Take their time. But in different ways. Okay, let them love a man or let them love a woman and spend their time all the time. That's the thing. Let them have children to occupy them. Yes, it's true. God said be fruitful and multiply. But you see, there is a way that you can do all these things without behaving like you are doing them. But anyway, we'll go into it. Oh, yes. You see, most of us here, when we have a baby, we go on church leave for 3 months. Do you get it? Most of us, when we have a baby, for 3 months, we are not showing up in church. But I can tell you of people who have a baby, 1 week, they fly from the United States of America to come and leave the children at home because they don't have somebody to look after them. Or it's costly. So they fly to come and bring the child home. And even the day they have to return, the child, I know somebody. This one is not a story. Somebody that I know. The day the lady was flying back to U.S., the child was an admission in hospital. And she still went. Because even though she has a child, she has a baby, she's behaving as though she has not a baby. Because she cannot afford to lose her job. But not so with Christians. As for Christians, anything that will inconvenience them, it doesn't have to be a very strong reason. It will inconvenience them. Yeah, you know, I have a baby. Most Christians. You get it, but you can have a baby and still, after 1 week, once you are up and about, it's not a sickness. You can come to church or even do many other things. Most, what time does your church close? By what time do you go home? 2. You see? So what do you do once you are home at 2 o'clock? From 2 o'clock to when we meet again, what do you do? You see? Me. 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock is like we just started a church. Because, you see, when we close the church, I need to meet people. I need to talk to people. Because I'm not the chief executive, I'm a pastor. So I need to talk to the church members, interact with them for about 1 to 2 hours. So whatever time we close, we interact for that long. 1 to 2 hours talking with people that I need to see, discuss things, because that's the only time you can see them. So when they are gone, then those that are in training will have to sit down and be taught. Then we will teach for about 3 hours or 2 hours, depending on what we do. Then when you are finished, you see, there are different levels. So it's like the general, you have the first meeting or the meetings. You have a series of meetings. Let me put it that way. A series of meetings. Because there are different groups. I need to meet the choir. I need to meet the prayer team. Because we have to, there are things to be discussed. And I can have one meeting at a time. So when I finish this group, I must meet this group. I must meet different groups. So by the time I say I'm closed, most of the time, it's about 10 p.m. And 10 p.m., I finished early. Sure. 10 p.m. is an early day. Yes. If I don't do it, when do I get to talk to the people? When do we get to do the necessary evaluations and meetings we need to have? When? Because Monday you are at work. Tuesday you are not available. I mean, Sunday is the only day that I can have you. Amen. And you understand. You understand when I start speaking. You understand why. It's like Sundays we don't close. I don't. There are only about 3 or 4 weeks in a year. 3 or 4 weeks in a year and the beginning of the year combined, where I see the sun going down in my house on a Sunday. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, on a Sunday, I don't see the sun going down in my house. When I leave for church on Sunday, I get home on Monday.
Thank you, sir.
You get it? Now, you see, it is necessary. It is because what I'm it you see, it looks strange to you. But the truth is that most of you, if it is a boy or a girl who has come on a weekend or who you have gone on a weekend with, you will leave and go home at 2 o'clock to say, I'm going to prepare for work. Yeah. Sometimes you actually go to work from there. Oh? Because there's a lot to discuss. There's a lot to talk about. And excuse me to say, a lot of foolish things to talk about and to do. So if you are doing that, for foolish things, why should we not do it that for godly things? There's nothing that God would demand of you that you are not doing it already elsewhere. And that is what Paul said, that as you have yielded your members, as you have yielded your members in doing things that are not proper, now that you are born again, yield your members unto righteousness. So it's all, nothing, most of the things that you need to do in your work with God, it's not something you are not doing already. It's not something you are not doing already. It's just a switch of mind to say that this one I'm doing it, but now I have to do it for God. Do you get it? It's nothing. There's nothing. It's not like, oh, you're asking me to do something that it's like strange. I've never done it before. No. I mean, coming for a camp on Thursday night to go on Saturday, it's not strange to some of you. For some of you, your camp starts on Monday. And the young ones may not understand, but the little older ones, I mean, you have had camps that have lasted longer than, I mean, some of them started on Monday. And more than 1 week camps. Or older ones. Am I saying something that's not true? So what you are doing now, coming on Thursday and going on Saturday, it's nothing strange. Why? Oh, you thought I don't know it. I know things. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Great. So I'm preparing your mind so that you accept that anything good has a price. Do you get it? Anything good has a price. And you see, what Christians do is that even though God has a price for his things, Christians come and say, you see, yeah, we hear you that you say how much? 200 rands. It's fine. But we don't have 200 rands. We have 100. And that's what we are giving you. Take it or leave it. God is not in need. Do you get it? For you to bargain with him. If the price is 200 rands, you either pay and get whatever it's being offered, or you don't get it. You see, and most Christians are deceived to say that. A lot of people are not even giving you 50 rands. So me, if I'm giving you 100 rands, is it not enough? You see, the price is 200. Nigga, it's not about who is giving what. If you bring the 200, you get it. That is what Elisha was told when he asked Elijah for the spirit that is upon him. Elijah was about to go and ask Elisha to make a request of what he wants. And he said that a double portion of the spirit that is upon you. So fine. You have asked for a very hard thing. But if you can see me when I'm going, you will have it. But his response was that what you have asked for is a very hard thing. You have not asked for a cheap thing. And the price is you must see me. So it means you can't go to wee break. It means you can't sleep. Because you are with the person, you don't know when. It means you can't even go to the kitchen to get food. It means you follow him wherever he's going. And whatever he's doing. So it means, literally, you have to follow him to the toilet. If he decides to go to the toilet and the smell is not nice, you have to learn how to hold your breath. Or else you learn to breathe in freely. Because you have to see him. Do you get it? If you can see me, it means if your wife is calling you at home because of the child, you can't go. It means so much, because the thing is that if you can see me, and it's not like, I'll be going at 4:30. So you go and do everything, by 4:27, you are there. And you keep your eyes 3 minutes. No. You don't know when. So sleep. I mean, it's like the guy has told you, it could be 2 days, it could be 3 days. You can't sleep. Because when you sleep, you can't see. But when he saw, he got the double portion, and his miracles were twice as that of Elijah. Hallelujah. So that is what it is that... Now, most Christians don't know what it means to be a Christian and what is on offer. Again, most Christians don't know what it means to be a Christian and what is on offer. A lot of us are Christians because we have been told that when you are a Christian, you can get the power of God to get all the good things of this life. And that is the reason why a lot of people are Christians. They say they want to go to heaven. But truly speaking, it's not about going to heaven. They are not heaven-minded. No. It's not about going to heaven. A lot of Christians are born again. Not because they want to go to heaven. Because they want the power of God to be on their side to enjoy and have good life. That if you don't agree with what I'm saying, look at our definition of a blessing. Or look at the list of things we call blessings. That will give you an idea, the real motive for our being born again. It's not about going to heaven. No. Heaven is the last thing on our mind. If you get born again and you really, really want to go to heaven, and Jesus appears to you and says, do you want to come now? Most Christians will say no. Most Christians will say, no, Jesus, don't do that. They will tell Jesus, listen, I don't like these jokes. Because you see, sometimes when you say it, it can come to pass. So don't. You see, Jesus, don't say things that, So don't bring up this. Listen, what we want is your power to get riches, to drive a new car, to have a new house, to have a husband, to have a wife, and to have all the good things that this world has to offer. Those are the things we want. We are looking for an alternative power. That is the reason why we flock wherever there's a promise of power. Our goal is not to go to heaven. That is not our goal. Yeah, you don't believe me? Do itemize billing of your prayer topics and see which of them is close to heaven. No, check your prayer topics for the last, just draw the statement history of your prayer topics and see whether heaven features in it. I mean, heaven. Oh, come on. As for heaven, Lord, it's not that's why we are not. We are not here for that. We want your power to get a job, to get a promotion. We want your power to have this, to have that. You see, we want the power to have things, not anything. But unfortunately, God also and Jesus, our Savior, is not really interested in giving us things here. Bishop, how can you say that? How can you say that God is not interested in giving us things here? Have you not read that he became poor that we might be rich? Pastor, you see, some of these things, when you say it, you have to be careful. Because some of us have read our Bible. That, brethren, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in good health, even as thy soul prospereth. So why are you saying that it is not about him giving us things when he said he became poor that we might become rich? Well, he wants to give you things. And true, he became poor that you might become rich. But what do you make of his statement that what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for a soul? So indeed, he became poor that you can be rich. Do you get it? But he's saying that one soul is more than the whole world. So the riches he wants to give you is not the world, it's the souls. Because you became poor. So that you can be rich. And he has told you that one soul is more than the whole world. So the guy has become poor so that you can be rich. So he wants to give you not what is less than the standard, and that is souls. Because he wants to make you rich. And he has told you that one bar of gold is better than one bar of bricks. Or one bar of gold is better than 10,000 bricks. And you are asking him for bricks. And the guy says, I've come to make you rich. I want to give you gold. And you say, no, you became poor so that I might be rich. So give me bricks. He gives you bricks, then he didn't become poor for you to be rich. Yeah. So you see, all these things, they are there. They are in the Bible. But because our reason for getting born again is different from the reason why Jesus wants us to be born again. That's why what he wants to give us, we don't like it. We want what we want. So our churches as Christians is full of people who want bricks instead of gold. And Satan has made us misquote the scripture. Or rather, misinterpret the scripture. If the guy became poor so that you can be rich, and he's saying that one soul is more than the whole world, are you with me? Then what would he want to give you? Would he give you the whole world, or would he give you a soul? Now think about it. So when we are called for prayers to pray for souls to be born again, we don't come. But when we are called to pray for husbands, for wives, for children, and all those things, we show up for us, and we are up and about. It's like we come in our numbers. will fast and pray for a husband. Especially the women. Ish. Lord, a husband. Give me a husband. Fast and pray for a brother to say, yes, I like you. Lord, direct his attention to me with a lot of fasting and prayer. You are the same prayerful sister. Will not show up if the pastor makes a mistake and announces that the prayer meeting is for souls. You see, he has to tell them something else for them to come. Then when they pray those things, he said, before we pray for our blessing, let us pray for souls. And, But that one evening, if they realize that they've been tricked, they will just pray, checking their phone. When the pastor starts the real prayer topic, that's when you see them. You see a very fat person moving. Because now the real prayer topic has started. But on a more serious note, I've actually been on a serious note. Did you get it? No, you know what? I feel that people don't think. That's my feeling. I'm not saying that I'm the wisest. Did you get it? I'm not saying that I'm the wisest. That's far from it. But I just feel that most people don't sit to think. That's the only thing. Most people don't sit to think. Just thinking. Because what I've said, it looks like I've said something new. It's like, wow, huh? But it's all, I didn't say, I just quoted verses. I just quoted verses in the Bible. All the things I've said, they are verses. I've just not opened them. But they are verses. If you like, we can start looking for each of the verses. If you don't read your Bible, then that's why it will look like I'm just coming with ideas. They are just verses. You get it? They are verses. He became poor that you might be rich. Thou mayest prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. Whatever prosperity definition you give it, do you get it? He says, one soul. Yeah. One soul is worth more than the whole world. And his agenda is to make you rich. So why should he give you what doesn't make you rich? Then he's a liar. It's almost like I've come to make you rich and then you discover that I've given you fake money. No. I mean, the guys were fishing. When he called them, they were fishers. They were fishing. Prosperous fishermen. But he said, follow me. I've come to be poor so that you might be rich. You are spending your energy, your time on fishes that will not make you rich. I will give you a new skill. I'll give you a new training. You'll be fishers of men. Then you'll be rich. But you see, today, pastors, we beg the people to win souls because they are looking to be rich. And Jesus is saying that one soul, like a bar of gold, is worth more than 10,000 bricks. Yeah. See, I want to give you bars of gold. I'll make you fishers of men. But you see, the reason why we will not follow and do those things Jesus said is that because we don't believe. Most Christians say they believe in Jesus. They don't. Yeah. If you like, ask a Christian, why do you say you believe in Jesus? Or what's the evidence that you believe in Jesus? They'll say, I go to church. Most Christians will tell you, I go to church. If you like, when you go and ask in your church, where is the evidence that you believe in Jesus? They say, the evidence is I go to church. But I'm here to tell you that even demons go to church. Demons go to church. When Jesus came and went to the synagogue, the first person who recognized who he is was a demon-possessed man.
Yeah.
If the man is in church, in the synagogue, and the demon was speaking, I mean, through him, where was the demon? Yeah, so why are you telling me that because you go to church, you believe in Jesus? Demons also go to church. So going to church is not enough evidence that you believe in Jesus. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, the only work of God, the real work of God, is to believe in Jesus. If someone says, I'm doing the work of God, Jesus defined the work of God. And the work of God is to believe in Jesus. Because if you believe in Jesus, then when he tells you that one soul is greater in profitability, is higher in prosperity than the whole world, you will follow a soul. But it's because you don't believe, that's why you will never follow. A soul will be passing by you and you say, hey, I'm busy going to work. I need to go to work to get some money to pay my bills. Riches are passing by us day in and day out. Riches are passing by us. But you see, because of our own belief, the riches pass by us. Are you recording the message?
Yes,
sir. Okay. Because of our own belief, riches are passing by us. And we don't care. And we are busy going to collect rubbish. Because Satan has made us to believe that the rubbish is of good quality. The least attended program in church is the evangelism program. It's the two of them, prayer and evangelism. It's a pastor's problem. Listen, I'm looking for God to bless me, so I'll give God an offering. And you see, what has happened to us also is that we pastors we will be surprised to get to Jesus and be told that we work for Satan. Oh yeah, you'll be surprised. You see, they say, did we not cast out demons? They say, I went with you, I know you not. Because you never worked for me. You never did what I wanted to do. You workers of iniquity, lawlessness, you did what you want to do, not what I want you to do. Because when you teach the people to love what Satan is offering them, who are you working for? I said, when you teach the people to love what Satan is using to take them away from what Jesus has to offer, who are you working for? When the Bible tells us that love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, and then you come and stand there and you preach us to love the world, Who are you working for? You see, of course, it is because we are working for Satan. That's why when God brings the people for us to teach them, we release them very early. Because God brings them, but we don't, or Jesus brings them, and then we are working for Satan. So he say, go home. There's no lectures today, there's no classes, there's no training, go home. That is why we have structured our church services so short. Because, you see, our aim is not to work for Jesus. Our aim as pastors is to serve the interests of Satan. Now, this one, we can tell ourselves. Nobody's telling us. If you are working, listen, if you are working for Jesus, if you are working for Jesus, and Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, making disciples and teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, you will realize that the teaching would need a lot of time. Because the people, when they get born again, they have many layers of debt, wrong thinking, that would need peeling them off one layer after the other. So how can you, somebody that has been dirty, it's like something that has been, when the person is born, the world has been teaching Satan through his doctrines and his teachings and wisdom. This person has been taught so much for 20 years, for several years of teaching. And you are supposed to undo all that teaching, and you are only using 1 hour Sunday morning. When would you finish undoing all that has been done to start even what needs to be done? So it is only when you are not interested or you are not serving the interest of Jesus that when the people come, you release them very early. But you see, when you read the Bible, the true workers of Jesus, they lived and did things as if they did not live in this world. Because the Bible says, and they continued daily. And they continued daily. Today, when you are a pastor and you say to the people, we need to have a meeting every day, they'll say, are you crazy? Do you think church is the only thing we do? Do you get it? Yeah.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message. To experience our services live, join us every Sunday morning from 9 a.m. at Alive Street Church, Sun City, located near Cornerstone Academy. Hope to see you soon. Remember, you're alive to give life.